This is Ask Pastor John, a question and answer podcast with John Piper. Brian in the state of Washington writes and says, "My older brother is an atheist, and we always have discussions about God, Jesus, the Bible, and Christianity. One point he brought up that I'm having a hard time answering is about the biblical view of slavery, specifically Leviticus 25, verses 44 to 46, which, just quoting very briefly, you may buy male and female slaves from among the nations that are around you. Obviously, we're dealing with a chattel form of slavery, it would seem. He asks, why does God allow slavery here, and then only in the last 300 years Christians have fought against the slave trade? More generally, are there some Old Testament laws that are merely cultural and don't fall under God's objective, universal, and moral law?"
Yeah, absolutely there are Old Testament laws and principles that don't have validity today. And there is a redemptive historical flow in the Bible that accounts for why some things were both commanded and permitted early that aren't now. And part of that is this, that the people of God in the Old Testament were a political, ethnic reality with God as their king, sometimes manifest through an earthly king later. God ordained in those circumstances that his people immediately exercise some of his rights and his judgments upon the people. So you get the entire annihilation of the Canaanites by Joshua and his army with brutal universal destruction. Because God said in Deuteronomy, I'm punishing these people for their sins. It's not your righteousness that is bringing this about. It's their sins that are bringing this about. So he was using his people as an instrument for his own judgment. And in that context of theocracy, that was legitimate and right for God to do, even though the people themselves may have been sinful in the execution. Similarly, I think, with things like slavery in this case, God saying, you're my people, those people, I have a right to judge, you may own them, and so on. Now, here comes Jesus, and he undoes so much of the Old Testament law. In fact, I think he undoes all of it as law, according to Romans 7, verse 4, and others, where we die to the law that we may belong to another. And the reason he undoes it is not because it was wrong under those circumstances to do what he said to do, but that with the coming of Christ and the rejection of his earthly kingdom and the establishment of a spiritual kingdom, he says the kingdom will be taken away from you Jews and given to a people who have the fruits of it, meaning the church. Now, it isn't political. It isn't ethnic. It isn't geographical. It has no king. And it is a church made up of all ethnicities from all over the world and therefore has a very different witness to bear in the world. It is a go-tell religion, not a come-see religion. It is a religion of binding Jew and Gentile of all stripes together in the blood of Christ, not a Jewish phenomenon performing wonders that the world could look on and maybe get saved. And under that new circumstance of a spiritual, dying and rising Messiah who reigns from heaven with no political dimensions to his faith on the earth, and a desire for all the peoples to come together, not just one ethnicity, and a desire that the command of love take on a whole new universal scope because the very essence of the incarnation and the death of Christ was to love your enemies, a whole string of Old Testament processes, procedures, commandments go by the way as part of the old system and not part of the new. Now, with regard to slavery in particular, it seems to me that the New Testament also causes us problems because it tells slaves to basically be submissive to their masters and masters not to threaten their slaves. So it's operating with a system that's given there. However, the commands that are given and the context in which they're given, I think, contain all the seeds for undoing anything like we had, for example, here in this country with owning human beings, especially having it race-based. And the book of Onesimus is the book that is brought forward rightly, I think, most often to show that Paul was sowing the seeds to explode the whole situation of slavery, because Onesimus himself was a slave when he got converted. Paul sent him back to Philemon, who had been his master, and he said, I'm sending him back as a brother. Honor him. And I think that kind of spiritual dynamic is going to explode the system. Another thing that's going to explode the system is when Paul says to masters, do not threaten them, remembering that you too have a master. So he puts the command of neighbor love, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, in the place of the right of a master to threaten. And if you don't threaten, then what do you do? You win by love, and that transforms slavery into employment. So I think it's not wrong that the Christians in America moved from a justification of slavery to a justification of abolition of slavery, and that it was long and hard in coming, and that the biblical principles that were there to undermine the Bible's own speech about slavery in the Old Testament was appropriate. So I think he's on the right track in saying that there are changes that come about in the process of redemptive history which makes some laws in the Old Testament no longer appropriate or relevant at all in the New.
If you enjoy Ask Pastor John, check out our 25-minute daily teaching program on the front page at desiringgod.org. And visit our online resource library for a myriad of free resources. It's all waiting for you at desiringgod.org.